choose me. And the story I just fed you, many of us here, some of us battle it inside. We get to a place that we already think we know God. But at that point, that's when you don't know God. Because God's going to do something you don't know he wants to do. You see, the purpose you have been chosen, and with that came, that was the foundation of the scripture, and that came from the book of John, the Gospel of John, 16th verse. We read that to you. Today we're going to start off with Matthew chapter 5. But the foundation is that he chose you. You didn't choose him. He's not lost. He never was lost, never will be lost. We are. And sometimes you're still sitting here and we're still lost, and it shouldn't be that we're lost. And the only reason we remain lost is because we let the things that God has spoken to us. And if you don't know, God has spoken things that he knows what he's saying when he's saying about us. Because remember, he created us, not the other way around. We didn't create him. It's us that was created by him. And he knows us. And this is why he talks about our feelings, you know, feelings. You know, you all like that song, feelings. And then you like to go get the violin, which you have a right to because of the pain we carry, because of that. And with that, we're talking about pain. My sister-in-law is here with us, right, my brother, right here. And she has authored her first book. I'm going to advertise for her. You know, she didn't know this. She advertised. It's called The Heart Wound, The Recovering from Unforgiveness. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to recommend that you read this and buy this book. Read it, because she lost her child. And I cannot tell you how that feels. I don't want to know what it feels, but I believe every word she wrote on the loss of a child and everything else that came before and after, because the enemy is the enemy, and he's a liar, and he's a thief. Come on, he's a robber. So I advertised that book without her knowing today, because I want her signature on it, because she's the author. Come on, say amen. And she's... And I'm blessing the Lord. Now, getting back to where we were, the Gospel of John brought us the foundation about being chosen, and because the message is, why did he choose me? And this is what we're telling you, why he chose you. We're getting to that place that you're here for a reason in this earth. There are some of us that shouldn't be here. Death came after you. You don't realize it at times, that it came and you didn't even see it, but he intervened. God intervened and he saved you. Without you realizing it. And there are those that are here that you know he rescued you. You know that I should not be here. I know that from 44 years ago, but I'm here. Come on, I heard. He took my cry. I understand who I am today. I am a child of God. How many can believe that? Can you believe that you are a child of God? If you understand that, that statement, you must understand how great the God is that you are a son, daughter of. And you're going to realize that when you get to this place, you are purposed with a plan of Almighty Living God to be here on 2025 of this day, because God planned it that way. And the foundation from Jeremiah 1 and 5 said, I chose you before you were even existing. As messed up as he's going to see us become, or as great as we thought we were going to be, he still chose us. So this evening, I'm already in tonight's service. I'm excited for my brother to come on. I spoke at his church, and I'm going to tell you what. Have you been to a church and had to go spank that church? I had the permission. I had to spank the church. I said, and I told them, I said, you're probably not going to invite me back. That's okay. And I said, I'm okay, Pastor, because I speak out in my church. It doesn't hurt me if I don't come speak at your church. I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, we advertise free coffee here for you, right, on Sunday mornings, right? They come on, Ernie, come in fellowship, right? They have that every other week, and they get excited. And I said, you know, because I watch and I listen to their messages, and I watch their service after on a Monday or Tuesday, and their coffee, they call it with Covenant, ours is with Cornerstone, right? They get excited because it's now breakfast with Covenant Life. They're giving burritos now, and they're having all this being given to them. They get free, sometimes you'll get a free gift card. I said, so I'm going to plan the next Sunday off, the Sunday, because I can make it there and back. before I'm called. And I know I'll have a nice breakfast with coffee, and I may, and I said, no, I'm going to come back with a gift card because I'm going to be a winner. Come on, say amen, somebody. And again, the foundation is this. Why did he, to the question, why did he choose you? Number one, because he loves you. Number two, because he has a plan for you. And number three, it's his purpose. No one's a mistake. Hello. Whether we're illegitimately born or not, and we did it correctly, most of us by marriage, but a lot of us were not born in marriage, but we're born because today we have a wrong saying, try it to see if you like it, which is absolutely wrong. Hello, somebody. But either way, he still loves those. He still loves us. He's already purposed them. He's chosen, and he has a plan for them. Hello, somebody. And so in that we've been chosen, we have to understand that there was words that he said in the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, 16th verse, but we're not reading there. I'm breaking ground again that we understand, because we're going to go to the book of Matthew's chapter 5 to continue. But he put us because, number one, he chose us. Number two, he ordained us. And ordained, remember, means to, he set you here. You're in place because he ordained it. That word means I've set you, or I have placed you, or have established you, and you're established for a reason. Yesterday, we're out there not to judge all that I see that's wrong, not to judge that everything I disagree with, but to do what the will of God was in our lives as who we are, of whose we are. Because I can judge everything out. How many know what I'm saying? Religion loves to judge us. Religion will kill us, and they are killing us. If you don't believe me, go to the Mideast and say you're a Christian. Go out there and say that you are a Christian in the Mideast world, especially in certain countries out there, and tell them you are a Christian and see what happens to you. Because you may not realize it, but they're killing our brothers and sisters out there. They're murdering them. They did that to our Jewish brethren on October 17th, a year ago. Our Jewish brethren, they murdered them. Children. But we don't see that. And they were in the same purpose and plan by God. But they just fell into the wrong trap of a God. Because not all roads lead to God. Not everything leads to God. Oftentimes it leads us away from God if we're not wise enough to understand who God is. And that's what we're building up you, that you know who you are in God when you leave these rooms of ours here, this building of ours, this property of ours. Because when you're out there, it's a different world with whom you're going to be. You may be the one that says, I love you, but they're waiting to kill you. And they may not kill you physically, but they can't wait to kill you with just words, because, you know, words hurt us, and we're not careful. So he's ordained you. He set you. You're set here for a reason. You are established for a reason. You have been placed for a reason. You're not a mistake. No matter what you've done, where you come from, good or bad, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you understand today that you're here because you've been called by God, chosen, and you have been set purposely by God, ordained, established, because he wants you to bear fruit. Fruit really represents results. We went yesterday because he set us. We're established either way, and we brought fruit. Come on. We saw the results. I seen people praying out there. I seen them ministering out there. They got out of their comfort zones. And if you don't know us from our ministry, we started in a park back 1985. That's where God directed us. That's where we began to get built up. And we're so free out there. It put us in a room like this, or the rooms we've had called church. Something happens. We put God in a box almost, like. But out there, we see things that you're free. You can't box him. Because it's so wide open. And God would not be boxed. How many know what I'm saying? He will not be boxed. That's why he puts you out there. Because you're the contact. Say, I'm the contact. You're the purpose of plan, the plan of God. And one of the reasons you've been planned out there, we're going to the book of Matthew, right? Again, I'm telling you, chapter 5. And I'm going to the King James Version. And I'm going to share a little bit with this, and we're going to break down, and then I will will continue because we got to come back tonight. And we hope you all come back. We hope you come and celebrate with us. It's going to be a great time, and you know we're just going to get spiritually fed and physically fed. But verse number 14, King James Version of the book of Matthew, is, this is why you've been called. This is why you've been chosen. And here's to the answer to the question, why did you choose me? Because he says, you are, say, I am. Oh, no, come on, act like you mean it. I am. You know who says that? Jesus said that, right? No, God said it. They asked, when he was asked, they say, who sent you? You tell them, I am sent you. And what does that represent? I am that which you will need whenever is needed, because I am that. So that's why I'm saying that. You say with an umph in you that because you need to know who you really are. You're the sons and daughters of a God that rules the world, the earth, no, not just the earth, the universe and beyond. You don't need, we don't know beyond. I read a comment last night, and I don't know what the heck I was watching. I was watching with my eyes closed. That's all I know. It was a long day because we went to the rally, got there early, did all the setups, did the breaking down, and we came here and set up for tonight. Yeah, see, our day didn't end. It kept on going. And so that's why I said, watch it with the eyes closed. But somebody said that's been around for over 500 million years. And I said, you're lying because you weren't here 500 million years. The world wasn't even here. The world's only, this world is only being established for the last 6,000 years. So how can you tell me it's 500 million? Because science can't tell me of time. That's a lie. They're trying to build a lie in us when they're and telling us that this is God, this is how it was 500 years ago. That's a lie. You cannot detect time because the way we have changed time. We have changed the way the system has worked. I hate the moving the clock forward and backwards. Leave it alone. Nobody told you to mess with it because, you know, if it's not broke, why are you trying to fix something? Especially with this. Why are you changing what I disagree? So say he disagree. I'm a pastor. So this is my pulpit. I can say whatever I like. I don't like this school schedule. I grew up with after Labor Day, send all the kids back. Not during summer. Hello, somebody. Our kids are back in school. That makes no sense. But oh well, we have to do that unless we homeschool. And this is a different story. But they still got to be in school at this time. I disagree with this, especially went to, what's this all year round school? 40, what was it, 45, 15? What are you talking about, Willis? I said, who voted these people to make these kind of changes? And who are they to tell us about time when they didn't exist in this time? No one existed 500 million years ago. That's a great guess, but you don't even know what 500 million looks like of time. We barely can foresee 24 hours. And how many know it's gone? 24 hours, you can't do as much as we used to do back in way in the days. It's going so fast. Hello. So he goes to say now, you what? Are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. But before that, he put something before you were light. He says you were the what? The salt. Say, I am the salt of the earth. I know I skipped a scripture and I went down, but I'm re-emphasizing some things. But if the salt has lost its flavor, I didn't know salt had flavor. Is that what? I don't know. 5 years, the last 5 years, I don't know what that means. But you do. And just because someone lost it doesn't mean you lose it. Hello, somebody. Let me go with it. But if the salt has lost its savor, King James Version says it, wherewith shall it be salted? Is this therefore good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men? You are the light of the world. A city that is set on, verse number 14, on a hill that cannot be hid. Now, if you look at it in the proper text, this is the King James Version right here. You might have a different version, and you know there's all kinds of versions today, you know. But the true Hebrew or Greek word, it was a Greek word here. The true Greek word is you are the wisdom or the grace or the exhibitation in speech. This is who you are. It's not about the way we look as an ingredient. How many know that God puts His wisdom in you? How many know that you're His grace? And grace is to be given to all. Say amen, somebody. How many know we're all under grace right now? Whether we like it or not. Whether we believe it should be for all or not. We're all under grace. But this is what He's called you to be. He called you to be the grace. What does that mean? I have called you, set you, chose you for a purpose that out there I need you to bring grace to those that don't know that they're under grace. But we can't be used like that because we don't realize that we're not here because we just get to choose. It's been chosen for us to be under His grace that we can now go give grace. Let me tell you something. It is not the duty of the pastor, the shepherd, to beget sheep. It is the duty of the sheep to get sheep. Oh, you didn't catch that. It is your duty as a person that God has chosen to be that what we call the wisdom or the grace or the speech that God has ordained you, chose you, set you, established you, to go forth and bring what God is expecting to bring. And that is the sheep. It's not the job of a shepherd. It is the duty of the sheep to go bring sheep back and expand. In other words, it's sheep that begets sheep, that the shepherd watches over. Are you here this morning? And light means to set on fire or bring a kindle of a fire. Rekindle that. This is why we've been called. I don't forget where I come from. I was out there ready. How many know what I'm saying? I never introduced myself as who I am. I'm Albert Aguilar. I'm here to pray for you. I'm here whatever you need. I'm here for you. They introduced me as pastor, but I never said I was a pastor. So when those that I talked saw, now they can call me pastor, but I'm not their pastor. Wherever they will be, it will be that we sent them, or wherever they are established, it will be their pastor. I'm your pastor if you sit under this ministry. If you sit here this morning and you decide to become a member, I am the shepherd over you. It is my duty to feed you. It is my duty. Hello, somebody. I understand that I've been established for this time to do what I'm called to do as a shepherd. I'm not here to win you over. I'm not here that you like me. I'm here to lead you to as God has asked us to lead you. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm here to follow that course. I'm not here just to have you sit here and do nothing. I'm here to feed you, to say, okay, let's go. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Have you ever studied sheep and the shepherd? They never stay in the same place. They stay there until like we would call harvest for the seeding and all. Okay, enough eating here. Let's go over here now. It's time to feed here. Meanwhile, they're beginning sheep. Meanwhile, it's growing. Hello, this is how this works. We have a duty. We have a purpose. One day, believe it or not, you're going to stand before God Himself. And He's going to ask, what did you do with what I established in you? How many did you witness? Let me ask you this question. How many in your job know that you are a saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit of God person outside of the church? How many of your bosses know, your foremen, your supervisors? How many of them know that you're a saint? How many of your real friends know that you're saved? In other words, how many of them know that you're not like this world? Because I'm established. I'm a Christian. I didn't ask if they knew you're a Christian. I asked how many know that you're saved. Because if you're a saved person, like the scriptures teach us, 2 Corinthians says, if any man being woman, Christ, you're You are a new creature. I don't think like you. I don't talk like you. I don't act like you. I don't go do things like you, because I'm not like that no more. Those things have been put away. And now I'm this, the Bible says, on the 18th verse of that chapter in Scriptures. And so he's telling us now, why are you here? Why did I put you there? Why did I let you come through no matter what you've been through? Why do I still love you? Because I'm calling you that you go be the wisdom and grace and do it in speech. And then I want you to be the one that's going to set a fire or ignite the fire. Purposed. I'm purposed. I'm planned. No matter where I'm at, no matter where I go, no matter what my position will be, I'm planned. I'm purposed. God has a purpose in me. See, you got to take it personal. You call him, you say he's your father. Do you talk to him like a father? I didn't know how to do that because I wasn't raised with a real father. I wasn't raised with a loving type of relationship rising as a child. So coming to God, I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how I could talk to him like this. I didn't know that he wanted to hear from me like this. He wanted to know everything that he already knew about me, but he wanted me to speak to him about it. I didn't know we can do these things. So I wonder here this morning, how many of you have really talked to your father like in heaven, like he wants you to talk to him? Confide in me, he says, right? Cast all your cares to me. What does that mean? What did it mean? I didn't even know how to love. I can give love, but don't you love me back. I would clam up because I don't know what this means. What are you hugging me for? Get away, because I can hug you, but don't you hug me back. Get back. Get behind me, Satan. Why? Because I didn't understand it. I didn't understand that in who I was. Who I was and who he was. And here I am, born again. Here I am, serving God. Here I am, doing all that I thought I should do. And then finally, he had to break me that I can be loved now. And love didn't, this love that shouldn't come with a cost no more. If somebody wants to love me with a cost, it's not a true love. See, because the cost that he paid for us on that cross, by giving what was the best he had to give for us, is unbelievable. Once you study it correctly, and when you do that, you're gonna be amazed. And so, in this establishment that he wants you to become, I want to go to the book of Psalms. I want to show you something here. Chapter 1 of Psalms. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. Good morning, everyone. Don't be so quiet. You can say amen in this church. Hello. You can say, yes, Lord. You know, you can stand up and say, glory to God. But don't you start running around. Because then I might want to run with you. Because that means the Spirit of God got a hold of me. Now, that doesn't happen. Yes, it does. I've seen God do amazing things and crazy things in all the years that we've been serving this God of ours. Why did you choose me? Because I want you to be what I said. I want you to be the salt. I want you to be the light. But I also want this for you. Say for me. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seats of the scornful, but, here it comes, but his delight is in the laws of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be, on verse number 3, like a tree planted by the river of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Verse number 4, though, goes, however, the ungodly are not so, but are like chaff with the wind and driven away. Let's break it down a little bit. God wants you to be blessed. So in this, what he's choosing, that he's made of you by choice to become what he's asked of us to become, children of the Most High, walking in a manner of the Most High, walking in the ways that 1 Peter tells us of his writings, that we are peculiar people. You know, we're supposed to be peculiar. How many of you have heard that? How many know that we are royalty? But at the same time, we are priestly. We carry two titles, priestly, royalty. And how many know that royalty doesn't beg for bread? I mean, understand that royalty, as you study it, is nothing like having a democracy. Royalty is in the status of a kingdom, which we are in the kingdom of God here on earth. Say, here on earth. We're in a kingdom of Almighty God here on earth, and that he's called us to become chosen by the Almighty himself, adopted us because most of us aren't Jewish. Or the Jewish descent. Most of us, if we have Jewish descent, we don't realize who we really are. And I've had to say that to really many Jewish people. I said, you don't know who you are. Because if you did, you'd be amazed. You know, you're not here to suffer. But if you are, because the kingdom of God does suffer, amen. Hello. Yeah. He prospers you in your suffering. He raises you up in your. And why he allows that? Because he's a loving God. Well, he's a loving God. Why does that happen? Because those experiences are going to cause you to be the salt and the light. You're going to be the witness that he's called you to become. And he's going to use everything that he's brought you out of. Because we didn't make it. We give the doctors glory. We give this glory. We give that glory. But all glory leads to God. Because if God didn't raise up that doctor, if that's who's helped you, if God didn't raise up that counselor who's helped you, if God didn't raise up a man or woman of God who's helped you, you wouldn't have been helped. But he has those all lined up for you, and all our crookedness he makes straight. Bad decision making. Hello, somebody. Because we make a lot of bad decisions, right? Especially when it comes to the word called love. We think love means that I'm to be established, which you are if it's in the love of God. You are established. We think it's security. It is if it's in the love of God. We think it's a position, well, I will have all my needs met. It is if it's in the love of God. But if it's a natural love, you're way off course. So that's where we make bad decisions. And that's why Christian divorces are so high today, because they don't know, but God already knew that. That's why we have an intercessor interceding. That's why he put the cross there. He didn't just put the cross there because I'm a drug addict or I come up from a messed up family and I was going to be more messed up than my family was. I'm going to do the bad things that we did. Been involved with the bad things we should have never been involved with. Put blame everywhere else except on the blame that it should be, and that was myself. That love is what caused all of that. But a true love, that he loves us, puts us in a place that I have been chosen. We have been chosen. We, and through our circumstances, how many know that through his sufferings, Jesus, he became perfect? The word means complete. Without the sufferings, there would be no completion. So your sufferings, wherever you come from, somebody God's going to use you for, because somebody's going through it right now. Wherever they're at, he has you for them. So I can speak of alcoholism. I can speak of drug addiction. I can speak of gang membership. I can speak on business now, Because he turned everything around. I can speak and reach those. So I can speak to the lawyers. I can speak to the law. I can speak to the medical world. I can speak to the lowest life of life. What is the lowest? Homelessness? That's not the lowest. If you don't know Jesus, he said he was homeless. He said, I have nowhere to rest my head. Good morning. But guess what? In his sufferings, in that commitment, we now become complete. Hello? And I've called you to forgetting those things that are behind us and pressing toward the high calling. Say high calling. You have, if you don't let go of those things and let God, the old cliche, let go and let God, yeah, it's just words. Until you put those words into action, it means nothing. If you don't let go and let God, because what you do, God takes it out of you. These people I hadn't seen for 40 years. I forgot their name. But I knew them back then. But I recognized, right? I recognized their faces, and that's all it was enough for me. Hey, good to see you. I forgot your name, though. I didn't tell them that part, right? What did I do? Hugged them. Because remember, I can give love now. And they hugged me back. I can receive it back. Hello, somebody. You're missing the point this morning. We're here because we are that spokesman. We've been called to be this spokesman. We've been called and positioned today, regardless of where we came from, regardless of the things that have happened, regardless. And God is constantly telling us, let go of that, let go of that, let go of that. And let me turn it around for you, because what was meant for evil, I promise you, I'm turning it to your good. I promise you that my word, that all things are going to work out for you, for good. How's that? Don't worry about it. That's his job. Your job is to go through it. Trust him. Hello, somebody. And believe what you've been called to believe. You believe in the salvation plan. You believe in the forgiveness plan. You believe that God chose you and came in and something drew you into repentance. Good. It's the beginning. It's not the end. The only thing is the end of is the old nature, the old ways, all that existed before that. But now you're in the newness of Almighty God. But today you're more so in the newness of a new day and a new hour, 2025. Hallelujah. And I've called you to be what? Verse number 2, blessed. Because verse number 1 said, he calls you blessed. Blessed are you. You, man, woman, who's walking in this way. You know, and the word blessed, sometimes we think that we got to have all the money in the world on the bank accounts and, you know, the homes, the lands, the investments, you know, driving the fancy cars. But that's not what he wants. That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about, there ain't nothing like having the peace of God in you. You know, the Bible says if you seek the kingdom first, Matthew chapter 7, you seek the kingdom first and all his righteousness, and then he'll add on to you. And what that means in the prior covenant, it says that I'm going to give you riches without problems. Because I mean, you know, the more money you get, the more problems arise. Oftentimes we don't understand what God is trying to say. He's trying to bring eternal happiness, and some of us need eternal happiness right now. You're inside, you're under the forgiveness, but you're not happy deep down inside. You feel so lonely. You feel, now you got your mate next to you, you still feel lonely. You got your family around you, you still feel lonely. That's because you don't know who you are yet. That's because you haven't let go. You haven't got to the place, because circumstances continue to haunt you that you don't realize that God has come to set you free and make you eternal happiness. And put you in a place that, you know, it's a contentment without, you don't have to do worldly achievements. You don't have to have that to be with God, because the blessedness of God comes for those who delight in the word of Almighty God, who meditates on it. Hello, somebody. And he meditates on day and night. And you know what? God's not silly. He's not, I'm not going to use the word dumb, because he's not dumb. He knows you can't read all day long. He can't pray all day long. He knows that. Don't put him in that kind of position. But what he does understand is that he's not looking for head knowledge. Because Satan has head knowledge. He doesn't have the spiritual knowledge God has asked us to receive in our born-again experience and about our callings of God, about who we are. Because if you're in Christ, he's called you. And he's calling many other out there. We're fighting for our families. And what I mean by that, I shared that a little bit this morning. When I say I'm fighting for my family, I'm not physically fighting. I'm not constantly just doing. I keep moving forward for my family. And I'm going to tell you to date, and it's been 44 years of servanthood, we have not buried one that didn't come to Christ. Many of them were on their deathbed, and God was gracious that we were able to lead them to his kingdom. And there are many who don't believe that happens, but I do, because that happened on the cross. I'm telling you, it's never too late. God is always on time. Not that he didn't want him before. Absolutely, he wanted him before, but the enemy lied. The world lied. Self was in the way. Come on, somebody. But thank God today that he would have me to be blessed. He would have me to delight on verse number 2 in his law. Psalms 37. How many know what 37 says? If you delight yourself in him, he will give you the heart's desire. I paraphrased her statement. But you better be careful, because your heart could be dark. You better be careful, because your heart could be evil. Come on. You know, I believe in miracles. I believe in casting out devils. I've casted out many demons, many. We were waiting for it out there yesterday. Come on, act up right now. Come on, because we got a lot of saints out there. So he behaved. How many know what that means? He behaved. And I'm going to tell you a secret that you're not going to always believe in the secret, but I've casted more demons out of church people than the world. How long have you been in church? It's not nothing new, saints. If you study the scriptures, Jesus walked into the church and he acted up. Because he'll come wherever he's allowed. So if he's in your home, head of the house, man, you better find out why. Or start looking at your heart. Are you here? No, you're not liking this. It's good, because he wants you to be blessed. He's going to bless you today. He's going to bless you beyond measure. He says his delight on verse number 2 is the light in the law, right? He does meditate it day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted. Listen, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season. In your season, you're going to be blessed. And your leaf, it also shall never wither. Not wither, but I put never. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. What do we put your hands on? Prospers. I like that. And I've learned that if you don't want your blessing, especially if you sit under this ministry, I'm going to take your blessing. I got a lot of pockets. I look for coats with more pockets. See, I got two here. I got two here. I got two here. I got one here. I got two in my here, two in the back. I want you, if you don't want it, because God designated for you and you're sitting here, I'm taking your blessing, because I'm not going to let somebody else have it. Waiting for you to get to your place so that we can give it back. I don't want it for myself. I want you blessed. I want you above, not beneath. I want you to be what God has called you, where you're planted by a river. Your leaf never withers. That in every season you're at, you're going to be supplied your needs. You're going to be strengthened. You will be in your place with him. And no matter what, whatever you ask, it shall be given to him. Come on, somebody. Whatever you do shall prosper. But he says on number 4, but on guys, stop worrying about the ungodly. It's not your job, it's his job. Your job is to give them to God. Give your family to God. Give everything to God. That's where he's a good God, right? Give it to him. Why? Because he wants you to be exactly what he's called you. He's chosen you to be a blessed person. Can't be light. If you got to break for bread, you can't be light. If you can't pay your rent, house payment, car payment, utilities, you can't be. No, you're not gonna like this. Don't get mad at Pastor, please. Don't get mad at me. You can't be blessed if you got to depend on every outsourced ways of receiving a lifestyle. Because only God can give you a lifestyle. But if he sees you doing what you shouldn't be, number four, the ungodly is not so. He calls ungodly. There's ungodly. Don't worry about them. Are you here, church? Well, my concern is this morning that when you walk out these doors, that you know in your calling, this is why he chose you, right? That you are the salt and the light. That you are the blessed one. God wants you to be the blesser. Hello? He wants you to be able to, if you see your neighbor hungry, you should be able to feed them. He wants you to be the one that if you see your neighbor in a need, he wants you to bless them. I know you, it feels good that, you know, we've done it all. Yesterday there was so much food given away out there. There's so much food. That's how much is available. It was constantly coming in. Hello? A lot of it was homemade. We're talking about hundreds being fed. It was a blessing that we even received the blessing. And we took our own. We took our own that we get to have it for today instead, for lunch. Isn't that awesome? Because God is good. Oh, you missed it. God is good. Why? Because we're blessed. If we do this, if we understand this, and I want to be free today, but I want to be blessed in my freedom. And today you are called to be blessed. He don't care if you're only 44 years old either. He's not waiting for you to be 68, sir. You don't want to know how blessed we were at 44. Come on. We were blessed beyond measure. We were taking care of the church that he placed us to be givers to. And today he continues to do that. And we want you to understand that his word is true. We had to separate ourselves to be what he's called us to be. It is a lonely road. No, it's not. There's many for us today. He's got many for you that he wants to use you. But at this place, you have to let go of all that was to let it become what is. And what is? He woke you up. Cliche. He woke me up. Thank God he woke me up. Yeah, thank God. Why did he wake you up? To struggle to get here? It shouldn't be a struggle. It should be an excitement. And I got to go. I got to hear what my God wants to give me or do or what I have to do. We always want God to give, but we got to learn to give to God. And what that is what do I got to do for you, God? Come on, why? Because you chose me. You set me. You've established me. You want me to be this light. You want me to be this salt, and I want to be blessed. And it's that simple. Hello? It's that simple. What that means, and I had to tell my friend's ministry on Wednesday, what that means is we can do church very well, can't we? Oh, yeah, we get up, we get dressed, we go to church, we take our Bibles. Some of you, you know, electronically, you know, you're still on Facebook, you're all texting and doing all that while we're in church. God's going to punish you for that. He's going to break your phone. He's going to make it fall in the toilet even. And rice is not even going to help it. And because you put it in rice, he's gonna make it that the rice and the phone fall in the toilet. Just to show you that he's God. Thank God he doesn't do that though, right? That's my prayer. Hello. But you have been called to be today blessed. He called you to be the blesser as he blesses. Hello, somebody. Why did he choose you? That you be blessed being his child that you're called. Come on. In Jesus' name, say amen. Come on. Stand to your feet.